Chapter 1. Stance and Movement. Before learning any other aspect of kickboxing, you must first know how to stand and how to move. We will begin with stance. There are two basic stances for any type of striking-based form of combat. They are the orthodox and southpaw stances. The orthodox stance is the positioning that a right-handed person generally uses. This puts their right hand, or power hand, and their right foot in the rear position. People who use the southpaw stance are the exact opposite. Their left hand is in the rear position, as is their left foot. Stances can vary greatly in both the southpaw and orthodox stances. Foot positioning, knee bend, and other factors are aspects of stance. The following series of photos will outline some of the variations for foot positioning and knee bend in the orthodox and southpaw stances. Orthodox stance. Figure 1. This is the basic kickboxing stance that I use when throwing strikes. I suggest you use this same stance. It can vary slightly to accommodate your body type and to ensure comfort in movement. This stance is ideal for throwing quick and powerful strikes. I use a slightly deeper knee bend when I'm evading certain strikes or throwing certain strikes. You will notice this as you work through the manual. Figure 2. This is the basic stance that I use for movement. Having my feet more in line with each other allows me to push off the back foot in order to move forward. This same idea applies to other movement as well. I will go over movement further in this chapter. Figure 3. This is an example of the deeper knee bend I will use. Southpaw stance. Figure 4. This is a foot shot of the southpaw stance. The stance is a reverse of the orthodox stance. It is used by a person who is left-handed. The southpaw fighter has their left foot back and their right foot forward. Figure 5. This is the southpaw stance with the deeper knee bend. Figure 6. The southpaw stance with a slightly wider stance used for seating down on punches. This can be used in both the southpaw and orthodox stances. The wider stance can create greater power generation. This will be discussed more later. Figure 7. In this image, the orthodox stance is displayed in full body view. The foot stance is slightly wider, which is used for seating down on punches. This is more of a power stance than a movement stance. Notice that the hands are kept high and close to the face. Notice the slight bend in the knees. Figure 8. This is a left side view of the stance form, Figure 7. Again, notice the slight knee bend, high and tight guard, and the slightly wider stance. Figure 9. The right side view of Figure 7. From this angle, you can see how the head, elbows, knees, and body align. You can see the solidity of the foot stance. The preceding stances referenced and imaged are the primary stances you will use in conjunction with this manual. There is one other stance you will also use called the side stance. Side stance. Figure 10. The side stance looks just how it sounds. You will stand with your body face to the side with your head looking forward. The foot position is front to back, meaning one is in front of the other, standing on the same line. Figure 11. The side stance works from both sides and is used for certain kicking strikes. A side kick and a turning back kick, spinning back kick, are two kicks thrown from this position. Figure 12. The side view of the side stance. Notice the positioning of the feet and the angle of the feet. Figure 13. Full body view of the side stance. Your hands are still held high and the face looks forward toward your opponent. Flat-footed versus ball footing. In boxing and kickboxing, there are two basic types of footing. These refer to the way the bottoms of your feet contact the ground. The first is standing flat-footed, while the second is standing ball-footed. Standing flat-footed means standing with your entire foot touching the ground. This is the way most people stand every day, and it is the way you want to stand when throwing certain strikes from the upper body. Standing on the balls of your feet, ball-footed, refers to standing with the heels of your feet slightly off the ground with your weight supported by the balls of your feet. The balls of your feet are the front part of the foot behind the toes. This footing is used for movement and for throwing certain strikes from the lower body. Standing ball-footed. Figure 14. It may be a little hard to see, but I am standing ball-footed in this image. I am only slightly lifted. It does not need to be an extreme lift, but rather just enough to distribute weight to the balls of the feet. Figure 15. Here I am again standing ball-footed, although it is exaggerated. Being this high on the balls of the feet when stationary is unnecessary. Only in mid-motion will you be elevated this high on the balls of the feet. At a standstill, this leads to an unbalanced stance. Standing flat-footed. Figure 16. Standing flat-footed means that you have the entire area on the bottom of your feet contacting the ground. This footing is good for establishing a solid base from which to throw punches. In this image, you will see I have the deeper knee bend I spoke of earlier. When throwing punches, this knee bend helps me torque my body and throw more power into my punches. We will go over this in more detail further on. Once you have the stance down, it becomes time to work on movement utilizing this stance. While walking is something people do every day, kickboxing movement is not. The two are fundamentally different, although the result is the same. Not only do the movements differ, but so do the intentions behind the movement. When walking, you are only concerned with getting from one place to the next. In kickboxing, you will be concerned with getting from one place to the next while avoiding strikes or other attacks and setting up strikes or counter-strikes. This ability to move while evading or striking is an essential part of kickboxing. When walking, you place one foot in front of the other to move forward. To move backwards, you place one foot behind the other and move backward. When moving forward in a kickboxing stance, you will step forward with your front foot. Then, slide the back foot forward until you are in your original stance. When moving backward, you will step back with the rear foot, then slide the front foot back until you are again in stance. That is the basic idea for movement in stance. The following images will outline movement in detail. Forward movement. Figure 17. You will begin forward with the stance for movement that I mentioned earlier in Figure 2. This is ideal for movement as it allows the feet to flow in a line during movement. This creates smooth footwork and allows you to flow over the ground instead of the traditional walk. This is faster than a walk, but slower than a run. It allows you to maintain your stance. The front foot will slide forward in the direction of the arrow. Figure 18. The front foot slides forward. You temporarily have a slightly wider stance from front to back. This is normal, and you would not be able to move without some type of increase in stance width. The rear feet will slide forward next. Figure 19. The rear foot slides forward. You have now effectively completed one step. Remember, you are not walking one foot in front of the other. You are sliding the front foot forward, then allowing the rear foot to slide forward behind it. This keeps you in your stance with your lead hand forward. Keep your hands high, head slightly tucked, and move on the balls of your feet. Repeat until you have covered the distance you need to move. Figure 20. Move forward again. The front foot steps forward first, creating a temporarily larger stance width. Figure 21. The rear foot then follows and closes the stance. Your lead hand is forward with your hand high and your head slightly tucked. Repeat this until you move the distance you need to achieve. Figure 22. Front foot slides forward. Figure 23. Rear foot slides. Figure 24. Front foot slides forward. Figure 25. Rear foot slides. Backward movement. Figure 26. Backward movement is achieved via the same mechanics as forward movement. The only difference is that you slide with your back foot first. Figure 27. Slide your back foot out while keeping your lead hand forward, hands high, and chin slightly tucked. Figure 28. Follow with your front foot. Figure 29. Slide your rear foot. Figure 30. Follow with your front foot. I realize that this likely sounds boring and tedious. Proper movement is essential to any martial art. Kickboxing is no different. If you take a boxing course, a taekwondo course, or even a jiu-jitsu course, the fundamentals of standing are going to incorporate proper stance and proper movement. Do not look at this as a chore. Look at it as a foundation. With improved movement, evasion becomes easier and striking on the go becomes possible. With improved evasion, you take less damage. With increased striking ability, you do more damage. When it comes to kickboxing, or any striking sport, these are necessary abilities. If you don't want to do this, you might as well stop reading now. I can understand the tediousness of this movement. Practicing moving isn't fun or exciting, and it doesn't directly teach how to attack or defend against an opponent. To that end, I suggest incorporating movement work into your warm-up and cool-down. Every workout should start with a warm-up and end with a cool-down. I like to do my training sessions in rounds. After my treadmill work, I start with 2 to 3 5-minute warm-up rounds on the mat. I practice my footwork and shadow box. This is a great way for you to incorporate footwork, movement. The same can be said of the cooldown. Set aside 1 to 2 rounds or a specific time frame and incorporate some footwork, movement, into it. Diagonal movement. Diagonal movement is a bit unique in that it can be done in 4 directions instead of 2, like the front-to-back movement. Let me illustrate. Imagine that you are standing on the middle of the line in your stance facing the right side of the page. Forward movement would allow you to move to the right side of the page, while rear movement would allow you to move to the left side of the page. Now, imagine you are in the middle of the circle below and we are looking down at you from top view. The lines represent the diagonal directions you can move. There are 4 lines, with 2 denoting rear movement and 2 denoting front movement. Ideally, diagonal movement does go in 4 directions, as illustrated by the previous images. However, in order to move forward or backward in 1 direction, you would need to change stances. This is something we do not want at this point. You should always maintain your stance. Again, let me illustrate, this time with a photo. Figure 31. Diagonal movement is done in a forward diagonal or rear diagonal. We will start with rear diagonal movement. Notice the direction indicated by the arrow. Figure 32. From your normal stance, you step backwards with your rear foot. As with the front-to-back movement, you will be in a larger-than-normal stance for a moment. Remember to keep your hands high and your stance facing forward. Keep your eye on your opponent. Figure 33. You now slide the front foot back to finish the movement. This is 1 diagonal step backwards. Figure 34. Forward diagonal movement is essentially the same as rear diagonal movement. The only exception is that you are moving forward. Figure 35. Step forward in a diagonal motion with the front foot. Your hands are high, stance is proper, and your eyes are on your opponent. Figure 36. Bring the rear foot forward. Figure 37. Step forward in a diagonal motion with the front foot. Your hands are high, stance is proper, and your eyes are on your opponent. Figure 38. Bring the rear foot forward. Now, I want to cover one more point with diagonal movement. We have only moved in 2 directions so far, but, as I mentioned, diagonal movement can technically move in 4 directions. However, for the time being, I do not want you to move in the other 2. If an opponent moves in a manner that would require this type of diagonal movement, you will pivot. The reason for this is that the other diagonal movement causes you to either step forward with your rear leg or step backward with your front leg, without moving the other leg first. This causes a change in stance. For now, you want to maintain your stance. Let me show you what I mean. Figure 39. In order to move diagonally, you would need to step forward with your back foot. This would cause you to change stance. In this case, the change is from an orthodox stance to a southpaw stance. While it might seem a simple change, standing in a different stance can be awkward until you get used to it. That takes practice. For now, pivot or sidestep if someone moves in a manner that would result in this type of diagonal movement from you. Side-to-side movement. Side-to-side movement is performed just as it sounds. Using one leg, you step to the side you wish to move and immediately follow with the opposite leg. For a moment, your stance will be slightly wider and you will be in a more forward stance. Once you bring the second leg across to finish the sidestep, your stance will again be normal. Allow me to illustrate. Figure 40. This is your normal stance. It is staggered with your lead leg forward and your rear leg back. From here, you will initiate the sidestep with one leg or the other. Figure 41. In this image, I sidestep with my lead leg by moving it to the outside of my body. This is how the sidestep should always start in this manner. There should be no crossing of the legs. Figure 42. I now follow my front leg with my rear leg. This closes the wider-than-normal stance and puts me back in my original stance. Figure 43. I now step to the right by moving my back leg in the direction that I want to move. Figure 44. I follow my rear leg with my front leg. I have now completed the side step. Figure 45. The motion for the side step is the same regardless of how many times it is done. Always start the side step with the leg closest to the direction you want to move. Figure 46. Step with that leg first. Figure 47. Then follow with the other leg. Pivoting. Pivoting is performed by rotating on one foot. This pivot can occur on the front or the rear foot, although it generally occurs on the front foot. The next series of photos will outline how to pivot on the front foot. Pivoting on the rear foot is essentially the same. Figure 48. In this image, I am standing in an orthodox stance. Position yourself in the same way. You are going to pivot to face your right side. This will cause your rear foot to pivot toward your left side. Figure 49. This image shows me in mid-pivot. Notice my rear foot is slightly off the ground as it is the foot moving. I am balancing on the ball of my front foot to facilitate the pivot. If you stand flat-footed, the pivot is difficult and you could tweak, sprain, your ankle. Figure 50. I have completed the pivot. Notice that I'm still on the balls of my feet. It is a bit exaggerated for effect. This is to facilitate continued movement. If I wanted to throw punches, I would seat back on my feet for a flat-footed power stance. Figure 51. Now, I will show you how to pivot to the other direction. You will start from the original stance. Notice, in the image, I am again in my standard stance facing forward. From here, I will pivot, rotate, to face my left side. My rear foot will pivot to my right. Figure 52. You pivot in the same manner as the first pivot. It is that simple. Pivoting is an easy move to perform, but it can take practice to become fluid with it. Chapter Review. In this chapter, we have reviewed how you should stand, stance, and how you should move, movement, when practicing kickboxing. Understanding these principles are essential to kickboxing. You should have a working knowledge of them as you proceed forward. Practice suggestions. Practice each set of movements individually first. Practice moving forward for a set number of repetitions or for time before moving to the next movement. Use a predetermined rep range or time frame. 5, 10, 15, or 20 steps in one direction is a good place to start. For example, do 10 forward steps in one direction, pivot, then do 10 steps forward again. If you prefer time, try using intervals of 15 seconds, such as 15, 30, 45, etc. Once you are comfortable with movement in one direction, move in two directions, then three, and so on. For example, step forward 10 steps and then backward 10 steps. Once you are comfortable with that, add in 10 side steps in each direction. Chapter 2. Defense. Blocking punches and evasion. Defense is essential to surviving a fight. While being able to attack will incapacitate an opponent, proper defense will keep you from being incapacitated. Imagine for a second a man running into a fight with his hands down and trying to swing punches from the waist. This man is leaving his head wide open for a punch and runs the risk of being knocked out. Now, let's imagine his opponent. This man has his hands high and easily blocks the telegraphed punches thrown from the first man's waist. The second man, in turn, capitalizes on the first man's exposed head and punches him in the face, knocking him out. This is a very real scenario and one you want to avoid. Defense encompasses blocking and evasion. Both aspects are equally important. Blocking allows you to defend against a strike and prevent it from doing damage to important tissue, such as allowing a hook to hit the arm instead of the head. Evasion prevents the punch from ever landing, and this is the ideal scenario. The rock back. Figure 53. The rock back is my favorite evasive maneuver. It allows me to stay in the pocket and not get hit. It can be used to avoid any type of head punch. The best part about it is that it is simple to learn and perform. The rock back simply requires that you lean back. To perform the move, you start in your normal stance. Figure 54. You then just lean back at the waist. Be sure to keep your hands high. Unless your opponent is right on top of you, their punch will miss in this position. Remember, like all moves, this has to be applied with proper timing. If it is not, you will likely get punched in the face. Figure 55. Return to the start position. Remember to always keep your hands high to protect your face. Slipping. Slipping is one of the best-known evasive maneuvers in boxing. It is used to avoid straight punches, the jab, and the cross. Slipping is performed by moving your body to the outside of the attacker's punching arm as the punch is thrown. Like all moves, this must be applied with proper timing to be effective. This is effective for boxing environments as well as kickboxing or MMA environments. The following images will illustrate. This is my second favorite evasive maneuver. Figure 56. In this image, my partner and I are squared up. We are in the pocket and ready to bang. Not really, but for illustrative purposes. From this position, the slip is performed to avoid a punch. Figure 57. I throw a jab toward my partner. She leans to the side slightly to avoid the punch. Notice that she is not doing a dramatic lean to the side. There is no need for this. You should move only the minimal amount needed to avoid the punch. This allows you to react quickly and efficiently. The less distance you move, the quicker you can return to the start position. A good rule of thumb is to move 6 to 8 inches to the side. Figure 58. Return to start position. Figure 59. I now throw the cross. My partner leans to the outside of the punch. Remember, always move to the outside of the punch. If you slip to the inside, you could move into a second punch. Figure 60. Return to start position. Figure 61. Here is a rear view of my partner slipping the jab. Notice that she has not done some dramatic lean, but rather moved roughly 6 to 8 inches to the outside of the punch. This has allowed her to avoid the punch. Figure 62. My partner does the same thing here with the cross. In both of these images, she has plenty of space between her and the punch. She could have slipped even less, especially with the cross, but this is effective. Bob and weave. The bob and weave is a boxing staple. It is not as common in kickboxing or MMA due to the potential for knee strike. In kickboxing, a person performing the bob and weave leaves themselves open to a knee to the face at the bottom of the movement. However, in a boxing-oriented setting, this move is efficient. I am not a big fan of the move due to the timing required to effectively perform it and the potential for a knee strike. The rockback is a much better alternative. When possible, use the rockback move instead of the bob and weave. However, there are many people who use this move with success, so it is essential to learn. Figure 63. The bob and weave starts in the basic stance. In this image, I am again the attacker and my partner is the defender. The move is used to evade a hook shot. Figure 64. I throw a right hook. The defender ducks under the hook in a U-shaped manner, moving from right to left. In this image, she has begun her descent as my punch is approaching her. Figure 65. The defender continues her U motion, which causes her to travel under my punch as it moves. Again, she is moving right to left since my punch is moving toward her left side. Notice that the punch is just above her head. This is fine. The U does not have to be excessive. Figure 66. The defender is now on the ascent part of the U. My punch has now cleared her head, and she is moving back to the start position. Figure 67. The defender has returned to start position, as have I. Head movement, and movement in general. Head movement may be one of the most underrated defensive maneuvers. It is effective at avoiding punches, but also at disrupting an attacker's throwing pattern. A still target is easier to aim for, while a moving target means the striker has to move with the target to hit it. This can be enough to stifle an attacker's offense. Head movement can also allow you to set up strikes and counterstrikes easier. When throwing strikes, there is always some kind of tell or form of telegraphing. Telegraphing is a movement before the strike is thrown. With punches, it is the movement of the shoulder before the punch is thrown. For a round kick, it is the turn of the hip before the kick is thrown. When a person utilizes movement, in this case head movement, the tell is harder to see. This is because you are already in movement, so the attacking movement can be mistaken for general movement instead of striking movement. Some of the best strikers use head movement, or other types of movements such as feints, to confuse their opponent. Head movement, and movement in general, is not confined to boxing, kickboxing of any one martial art, or form of combat. It is not even confined to stand-up fighting. Ground fighting methods can benefit from movement as well. Again, let's look at the example of the still target versus the moving target. If you are laying on the ground with a person in your guard, this is a jiu-jitsu term if you want to reference it, and a person is trying to hit you, you don't just want to lay there. You want to move either by shrimping, another jiu-jitsu term, obtaining wrist/arm control, or using some other defensive movement. Movement is something I cannot stress enough. It is an essential part of defense and can keep you from getting hurt. Utilize movement as often as possible and look to perfect movements that work for you. Protect yourself, my friend. Figure 68. Head movement is easy to perform, but it can be hard to implement in a fight. Head movement simply means moving the head, and it starts from the basic stance, although it can be used in any position. See the previous paragraph. Head movement is actually a misleading term. The head movement actually occurs at the waist. You lean, bend, or twist at the waist to move the head from harm's way. Figure 69. In this image, I have moved to the side. Essentially, I am slipping. See the slipping section. This movement can be used to confuse the opponent and make them throw a punch in the wrong direction. Figure 70. Now I am leaning to the opposite side as if slipping. Again, this can be used to confuse the opponent. Conversely, I can also throw a punch from here. Potentially, my opponent thinks I am just moving for evasive purposes. If I throw an uppercut to the head or a hook to the body, I might catch my opponent off guard. Figure 71. In this image, I am ducking down as if to do the bob and weave. While the bob and weave is used to avoid hook punches, it can also be used as part of general head movement to confuse an opponent and avoid strikes. At any point in the movement, I can throw a punch should the opportunity arise. For this half-ducked position, I can throw a hook to the body or explode upwards to deliver a hook to an exposed jaw. Figure 72. The same idea applies here. I am coming back up from the bob and weave.